This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The scripture reading today is from the New Testament, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. It's found on page 7 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Please follow along as I read. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye of the lamp is of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So this is just sort of an opportunity for you all to get sort of reoriented to the timing of our world around us. If you're not in a place in your life where the start of school is a great big deal, you should know there's a great big deal coming up on Thursday this week, which is when school starts. So if you see lots of really happy parents next weekend, that's why. And of course, time flows just a little bit farther behind here in the church world. We begin our program year in 3 weeks with Covenant Sunday. And when we have Covenant Sunday, we also begin a new cycle through the narrative lectionary. So we'll start in Genesis and work our way all the way through the Old Testament through the fall, and then pick up. It'll be the Gospel of Matthew this year. I know you've been really anxiously looking forward to that. And we pick that up around right before Christmas and move through one gospel all the way until Easter. It'll be a fantastic time. But there's 3 weeks now, today, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, before all of that begins, and you're in for a treat here because we've got a little 3-week series talking about treasures in heaven. That's sort of the common phrase that links the three stories that we're going to be reading today and next Sunday and the Sunday after from Matthew and Mark and Luke. In each of those, Jesus uses the phrase storing up treasures in heaven and invites us to store up those treasures in particular and different ways. So we're going to follow this series with the idea that in church, we don't talk about money enough. Now, you're sort of a different congregation in that regard, because you talk about money a lot more comfortably than congregations that are not predominantly made up of CPAs talk about money. And yet, we don't talk about money enough at times that we're not asking for money. We don't talk about it enough at times when we're not going to follow it up with, now here's what the church budget is and here's your chance to fund that budget, which it exists, you have that opportunity, there I've said it. But I want to talk about what it means for us to live in a world where so much of our lives are defined by money and spending money and saving money and what we're going to do with that money. What it means for us as spiritual people to live in that world. So we're going to talk next week about what makes it possible that we might store up treasure in heaven. How can we imagine that being a thing that could even happen? And the week after that, we're going to talk about the way that storing up treasure in heaven depends on having a community surrounding us, a community a lot like this congregation. And this week I want to talk about trust. I want to talk about what it is to trust in God who provides for us and the ways that we can trust in God with what we do with our money. So trust is one of those fuzzy words that we use sometimes in church. I use trust often instead of the word believe because I'm actually a lot less interested in sort of how you put together your sense of, okay, what exists that I can't see, and am I willing to imagine something that I can't see right now? And believe is, it's a messy word. Trust I use as a little bit more spacious way of talking about what do I put my confidence in? What do I count on? Which, okay, that's still pretty hard. But trust is one way to find out what we trust is to ask, what can't I do without? What am I unwilling to do without? What do I give my heart to is another way of asking that. That's an old meaning, actually, of the word believe. The root is, what do I give my heart to? And what we trust shows in what we do. And so all of that is to say that if you want to really know what it is you believe, if you want to really know what it is you trust, don't ask your pastor. Ask your checkbook, right? Or ask your calendar, or ask your family if those two don't give you a clear enough sense, because they know what you trust in. Someone who knows you well enough to see what you really do, they know what you trust in. Only, even that's not quite the entire truth. If that was the entire truth, I'd have to sit down, and I still have more to say. It's not the whole truth, because the relationship between what we trust and what we do, that relationship goes both directions. Jesus suggests, in fact, that the relationship goes more the other direction, that it's more that what we do leads to what we believe rather than the other way around. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, it would be a lot nicer to read that the other direction. It would be a lot nicer to read that to say, well, if you really like something, then you'll put your treasure there. If you really care about something, you'll put your treasure there, and that makes for a great stewardship sermon, right? But it doesn't go that direction. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be. Your heart will follow. Your heart will arrive at where your treasure has been. And so I'm going to tell you why that's actually a really hopeful way to look at what we do with, I'm talking about money, but I could be talking about any of a number of other kinds of resources here, couldn't I? This is hopeful because it actually gives us a level of control over what it is our hearts desire. So, for instance, I was out for a run the other day, and I ran past a neighboring local place of worship, and they've got some landscaping bricks out front, and a couple of the bricks at the end had gotten knocked over. I don't know if somebody had been jumping on them or something, but I could tell they weren't where they belonged, and that was recent. And so I stopped, and I put those back where they were and then continued along my run. And now that, you know, makes me a wonderful person, but what it really does is that acted like a little tiny investment in a place and a little tiny investment in the community that gathers there in that place. It gave me a little tiny sense of ownership in, now this is someone else's religious space. If we've got landscaping bricks that are out of place, you can go own our place of worship. It was like this little tiny minuscule piece of sweat equity put into that place. It put into that reality. Well, that works with our money and our stuff as well. That is to say, when we entrust our material selves to something, we actually are more deeply personally invested in that something. We give our hearts to what we have entrusted our material to. And so when I invest in a place or a community or a person, I actually care more about serving their welfare. I actually can pray more deeply for them. This isn't magic. This is spiritual transformation. This is the way that our actions change who we are and how we go through the world. And so the question that Jesus is asking when he's talking about where our treasure is, the question he's asking is not so much whether we give enough to the causes that we care about. Instead, the question is, how can we give to those causes and those communities and those people that we want to care about? What can we give that will deepen our connection with the world around us? So this works like when I buy coffee from our partners in El Salvador, and occasionally as I'm drinking that very fine coffee, I invite you to stay after worship and share some, I am able to remember and pray for those folks who grew that coffee, because the money that I've invested in their livelihood already connects us in that way. Or it works when I spend time stuffing backpacks full of school supplies for kids in need, and because I've invested my time and my energy in that, then my heart is more deeply connected to their success and their potential. It even works like this. Years ago, back when I was actually answering solicitation phone calls, I got a solicitation phone call from a political organization that talked me into making a small donation to their cause. I don't take solicitation phone calls anymore, but that's not precisely why. But they talked me into giving a small contribution to this particular political cause, and now I don't even agree with that political cause anymore. I'm not confident that I agreed with that cause at the time that I made that small contribution, although I honestly can't remember anymore at this point. But I can tell you this, I can tell you that I hold even that position, that political position I don't necessarily agree with anymore, I hold it in higher regard because I know that I have invested something in it. That's what it means when we put some piece of our substance, some piece of our money or our effort or our stuff somewhere, that we are more deeply connected to the cause or the community or the people that we have invested in. That's what I hear when I hear Jesus say, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." I hear that our affection follows what we do. I hear that our love follows what we invest in the world. It doesn't work the other way around. And that is to say that our purchases and our actions, they make a difference. They make a difference for other people, and they make a difference for ourselves. And I hear in this a way of looking at the story of Jesus in the world as well. Think about that story as a story about God putting God's treasure somewhere and God's heart following. We are invited here in this passage to store up treasure in heaven, but the story of Jesus, isn't that the story of God sending treasure from heaven to earth? When we talk about Jesus as God's only begotten child, we mean beloved. We mean treasured. We mean to acknowledge that there's nothing more precious to God than Jesus, is there? And that's the whole point. The point is that when Jesus came into the world, all of God's love for Jesus came into the world with him, and the world became filled with God's love for Jesus. And it still is. Now, that's not the only way to think about the redeeming love of God for the world in Jesus Christ. It's also deeply true that God loved the world long before that historical event of the incarnation in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. But then that's the point, too. The point is that God loved the world, and as an expression, a continuation, and a building on of God's love for the world, God gave the priceless gift of Jesus' life to us. And so God's love, God's heart is bound up in this world forever. Because where God's treasure is, God's heart is as well, right here with us. And so we are invited to respond to that presence of God's heart with us. We're invited to respond with what we have to offer, with the place that we intend for our hearts to be, to place our treasure in that same place. And so this is an invitation, even more than it is a request. It's an invitation to allow what you give to lead your heart into deeper relationship with this world. Now, this is starting to sound like I'm asking for money, but please notice I'm not talking about covenant's budget here. We'll talk about covenant's budget plenty. Don't worry about that. What we're talking about right now is an invitation to allow your heart to be changed through giving something. It may be small, it may just be a little tangible token of where you intend for your affections to go. It may be a gift that only makes sense as a statement of faith. It doesn't make sense in terms of solving a problem or meeting a need, but it is an investment of who you are so that your heart might follow. It's like giving instructions to your heart. It might be an extravagant gift to someone that you are at odds with, that you would like to be reconciled with. It might be a commitment to give more to charity than your lifestyle seems to allow. It might be an investment on the part of this congregation to form the faith of our neighbor's kids. These gifts, all these different kinds of gifts we might offer, are signs of our trust. They're ways of building trust, in fact. Trust in God's faithfulness to provide, trust in God's purposes for this world. And so I'm going to leave us there today with that invitation to do something that builds our trust in God's purposes in the world. That invitation to trust what God is up to. We'll talk next week about why I think that that is even a safe thing to do. But this week, I just want to give that promise one more time. I want to give the promise that God gave the treasure of God's own boundless love to this world in the life of Jesus Christ. And so we are free. We're free to give our treasure to God's work in the world, and we're free to find our hearts following that treasure into God's kingdom. So may it be, in Jesus' name. Amen.